So here we are. We're starting the Christmas season. You know, there's already Christmas carols being played in the stores. In fact, the Christmas decorations came out and on the shelves the minute Remembrance Day was done. Actually, Halloween. And of course, we know that the promotions of the latest and greatest Christmas gifts and ideas are being broadcast across all the airwaves everywhere. Started with the great big Black Friday, which used to be an American thing until recently. Sales. It was Friday was the official Black Friday day. I always thought, that's a terrible name for a day, Black Friday. Actually, what it has to do is an accounting thing. You want your ink in your accounts to go to black, not red. And that was the day it was supposed to flip it over. So that's where that came from. So going from it's a good reason to have black ink. Black ink on the bottom line. And of course, you know what happens is, of course, we start parties. And there's the plays, and there's the concerts, and the well-wishing gatherings and celebration. And there's the question. Are we actually celebrating? What are we celebrating? Are you celebrating? Now, I'm going to ask you this. Has Christmas lost the celebrating part for you? You know, maybe it's become a problem with the celebrating Christmas. And that problem happens to be because you started thinking like an adult. Because when we think like an adult about Christmas, we think about all the work and the effort that there is, the extra costs, the planning, the organizing, the wrapping of gifts. Oh, wait, there's the shopping of gifts and the crowd you have to navigate. Anybody go to Walmart on Friday? Smart people. I forgot. It was just like first try to find a parking spot, then try to make your way through the people and the carts and the people who are cart by cart standing, talking, forgetting there are people behind you. And I just wanted to go in and get something and get out. It was one, you know, and it's just, and then the lady at the other end is pointing me. And of course, to be perfectly honest, I find going through the scan myself thing just a little faster than waiting in line. But the lady was directed me to a wait in line. And I was, and guess what I had? I had grumpies. I had the grumpies. Impatient grumpies. I did not want to say that. Anyhow, as I got to the till and I finally realized this poor little gal who's in training trying to do everything. And of course, the person in front of me had some kind of gift card and they're trying to get it to scan and work. And then they had to pay the difference cash from the, and it's like, are you kidding me? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what are you preaching on, Shannon? I was just like, zing. That's right, Lord. And let my heart change and said, I have this hope in me. And people need to see this hope that I have in me right here on this face, right here from my mouth. And so little gal is, can I, you know, do you need bags? Yeah, I'm sorry, honey, I did. I forgot my bags. So, okay. And then she's not packing them really great, but she's new. And it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to bless her and love her. Thank you. And, you know, just try to be, even though inside and part of me is, I just wanted to come in and get this one thing and go. And it was like, but did I take time to love up on the person standing right in front of me in that moment? I got caught up in the adult thinking. Oh, it wasn't Christmas shopping. But again, part of that Christmas adult thinking is, oh, I got to navigate the crowds to go get Christmas presents. What am I going to get for Christmas presents? What do they need? I don't know what they need. And then there's the very full schedules, and there's the decorating inside and outside and the Christmas lights and the rehearsals and the concerts and the Christmas parties. That's a nice song. And then there's the, do we host Christmas at our house this year, or who's going to host Christmas at this house, and what does the menu need? Because we've got keto, we've got vegan, we've got vegetarian, and other cultural dishes that need to come in. And what traditions do we keep, or do we keep the traditions? And we get caught up in the exhaustion of it before Christmas season has even started. And out of our mouths come the classic line, where is my clicker here? Christmas is a humbug. Christmas is a humbug, and our faces look like the Grinch. But I want you to think this morning, and how was it when you were a child? The child at Christmas time, what is their hearts filled with? Well, hope. And hope in the heart of a child is something that we should aspire to, if I could put it that way. Seek Holy Spirit to help. I have a little picture here. Does that just make your heart go, oh, look at that little one. Look at this child, a little present expression on her face. She's not a bah humbug. There's a different spirit in the air for her and for us as we walk into this Christmas season if we let our hearts become like that of a child. Remember when you were a child and you thought about Christmas? Wasn't it exciting? Because Christmas was about the lights on the houses. And did your family go for a little drive in the city or drive around to look at those Christmas lights? I remember when the streets of Edmonton, grew up in St. Albert, and the streets of downtown Edmonton, they had all those beautiful lights. And I remember they used to have these beautiful angels that came out with big trumpets, and there was ones on either side, and they kind of created this archway. And I remember driving in the car, of course, we're in the back seat, kind of look out, and just going, oh. And it filled our hearts with just awe. It was so beautiful. And then there was going and getting a Christmas tree and decorating the Christmas tree. And then there was always special treats that came out in Christmas-themed dishes. And there's these little snacks, because there was no snacks laying around our house when I was growing up. I mean, they wouldn't last. I had three brothers and a dad that, you know, would make sure that the snacks were gone immediately, if I could put it that way. The Christmas music that was playing, it was wonderful. It filled the air with a different sound, and it was usually Christmas carols, not I'm Having a Blue Christmas by Elvis. And then there was receiving Christmas cards in the mail. Do you remember how exciting that was? Actual piece of card paper and opening up and all the beautiful scenes. And we had a piano and they would all go stacking up on the pianos. Just look at all these beautiful things. Christmas time, beauty was in the house. And then there's the store windows where all had special treatments for Christmas. And then there's the special events that would be happening around the town. And there was visiting and visitors coming and time off school so you could play with your friends. And of course, the beautiful Christmas dinner and the anticipation of Christmas presents. Our childhood thoughts were filled with desires as we, remember this, scoured the Sears and maybe some of you even the Eaton's catalog and all the dog-eared pages of the favorite things, and we'd look at those catalogs and we'd dream of the fun that we'd have with the toys and the things that we saw on those pages. And I'm seeing you guys nod and go, and you remember that? Can't you feel it in your heart again as a child, the things that were coming? There was anticipation, hope. And you didn't have that thing in your hand, but it didn't stop you from hoping. You just saw what was on the pages and you dreamed, and the excitement was in your heart as if you already had it. We were hope-filled, and we celebrated Christmas in every area of our lives. We were children that had hearts full of hope. Mark 10:15 says, truly I tell you, if anyone will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, will never enter it. Sometimes we get all caught up into our theological thinking even, and we forget about the kingdom. I'm going to share a little testimony with you this morning. Last Friday, I wasn't feeling very well, and I'll just be honest, I have a hernia, and my hernia popped, and it made me not feel very good, and it's not a good thing to have happen, and I was, it kind of makes me nauseated, and I had plans for that day, but I was not going to be fulfilling those plans, and I would go all in the bed, and it was tender, and all of that stuff, and I'm kind of, oh, Lord, do I go to the doctor? What do I do? And I called a friend of mine called me, my friend Becky, you know Becky. And we were chatting, and I said, hey, listen, I'm kind of struggling here. Would you pray for me? And so she did. And I felt the warmth, and I felt it pop back in, and the pain went away, and the tenderness went away, and the nausea went away. And I said, Becky, I'm healed. She said, what? I said, I'm healed. It happened. We were talking to her. She said, I can't believe that. Because she says, I didn't have any faith. I just prayed because you asked me. That's our God. That's our Lord. And sometimes, like I said, it was that hard child, like, I'll just do it because that's what the word says. And we get caught up in all the things that we have to have happen first, and I have to have prayed. And sometimes we do. There's times of prayer and fasting, and sometimes there's, but we get caught up into our intellect and into our theological thinking as opposed to just childlike faith that says, I'm healed. I'm healed. Today, as we start this first week of Advent, it's the childlike heart of hope that we're coming with. And when we look on the pages of God's catalog, and maybe that's too worldly for some, but the promises that are in here, are we dog-tagging the corners? Are we underlying, are we marking the promises with childlike faith and hope and excitement of what the word says? And that word Advent, because we're not a liturgical church, but we've been celebrating Advent the last couple of years just to remind ourselves and get our hope and our hearts into the season of what we're celebrating. That word Advent means arrival or coming. And as we start the celebrating today, I appreciate the candle has already been lit for today. It's the candle of hope. And that's okay. Thank you. I didn't have to go. As you can see, it's not a real flame. And we're celebrating because we're coming with anticipation, like little child, like that faith, with hope, pure hope of what the Lord has done. Hope is connecting, or is connected to the word trust, faith. And in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is confident in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. Hope, that word hope, means to trust in, to wait for, look for, or desire in something or someone beneficial in the future. Well, when the Old Testament, that word hope was the emphasis on what's coming. And I ask you right now, what or who are you hoping in? When we look at the Gospel of Luke, and we see the Christmas story there. Here's some people we know. There's a story of both Simeon and Anna. And they were waiting for the Messiah. And I'm going to turn there and look. They were waiting in hope. They had hope of what was coming. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, for the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel." And then we're going to hop down to 36 here. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. And she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And then it talks about Mary and Joseph being in awe. The promise was made, and the promise was fulfilled. And so as we look at this candle this morning that we've lit, this candle of hope was also known as the prophet's candle. And so why is it called the prophet's candle? Well, because the prophets of the Old Testament spoke about Jesus. And these were the signs that were given him, that were given them. That the Messiah would be born of a virgin. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would spend time in Egypt. He would come from David's line. He'd start his ministry in Galilee. He would be the figure Daniel referred to as the Son of Man. Anybody heard that? He would teach the hidden things from old. Keep coming on. He would be holy, a rock that would make people stumble and fall because they didn't believe in him. He would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We sang that this morning. God would call him My Son, and he would gather Israel together. Now, what about the hope that was there? Those were the signs they were to look for. But what was the hope? Well, that he would free them. He would build them up and bind up that brokenhearted. He would bring us out of darkness, bring us out of our blindness, bring us out of our prisons of sickness, depression, poverty, all those things that keep us captive. And he would proclaim freedom. And he comes as the suffering Savior, the Passover Lamb. So there's this hope that they were looking for, that he was coming. And the thing is that we're standing on this side of the fulfillment of all these prophetic words. Our Savior has come. We have seen the great light in the darkness. And we rejoice in knowing Jesus. We sing. We even sang it this morning. I just want to sing. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. No, it's declaring Isaiah 61. He has brought us out of the darkness. He is here to set us free. It has happened. It is not something that's going to happen. Well, I mean, it can for us, but he has already made the provision for it. We're on this side of those promises. Not only does Jesus bring us hope, but he is our hope. He is our hope. In fact, let's go to 1 Peter here. Oops, come on, 1 Peter, there we go. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Anybody happy about that? Really? Hello? He's given us new birth into a living hope. emphasis is mine. I'll just put that there. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil. How many of you have any of the Christmas gifts you got as a child? A few, maybe. We might have a few of them. But the truth is, most of them have perished. Most and fade away. Some of them we can't even remember asking for them. We got them, they came, and they went. Excuse me, I'm going to... Crystal, can you mute me for just a sec? I forget, it starts getting super dry. Anyway, sorry about that. So we have this inheritance now that will not spoil. Have you ever sat and just thought about the inheritance you have in Jesus? What we have, our living hope. It's amazing. Oh, bless your heart, Miss Maddie. Extra pearls on your crown. Thank you. We have this wonderful inheritance in Jesus, through Jesus. And again, it's one of those things as we flip through the pages and we look at what we have in Jesus. I pray that you have that childlike hope and faith as you look at every promise and, wow, that's for me. Romans 5:5 says, now, and I haven't got the scripture up here, now hope does not disappoint. And if he's our living hope, if Jesus is our living hope, does he disappoint? No. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. How many of you are grateful for Holy Spirit in your life? Oh, man. And how he teaches and how he guides us. Some days I sit back and I can't even remember what I used to be like. Like, I can't even remember how I used to feel. I can't remember some of the things I can't, you know, I used to tell off-color jokes, trying to impress people before I was a believer. I can't even remember them. And I'm thankful they're gone as far as the east is from the west. And I say that because I myself was, you know, if I can put it this way, ashamed of that. But you know what? I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. I have a new and living hope in me. And so do you. And as we shed our adult thinking, can I put it that way? Understanding what I mean this morning? Of all getting caught up in all the things of the world, I come as a young child. I come to the pages of my God's picture book, wish book, blessing book, promises. And I dog, well, I don't dog, I highlight and I've got lots of bookmarks and that. And I hope that none of you are ever afraid to underline and highlight in your Bibles. It's okay. And date it and put a little comment. What did the Lord speak to your heart when you looked at that? We're looking at what hope is. And you know that hope is a proper response to God's promises? In fact, I don't have this one up here. In Romans 4:8, in reference to Abraham looking to God at 90 years old, I have no family, I have no children. And God made a promise to him. And it says in Romans 4:8, again talking about Abraham, who contrary to hope, when there was no hope, he's 90 years old, there's no hope, in hope believed what God's promise was, that he'd have children. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, you shall have, so shall your descendants be. Abraham hoped against all hope. And let me just bring it to this moment and this day. when we think of our brother Alan. A report that says the doctor's report is one, but we believe in a different report. Amen. We believe in the report of the Lord. We believe in the words that were spoken. We stand in hope, and we'll stand with you, Alan, no matter how you're feeling. We're going to say, our God is a mighty God, and we believe what he says. Thank you, Lord, is right. Hebrews 6:18 says, God did this so that by two unchanging things, and that which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of hope. Let me ask you this. Have you fled to take hold of hope? Have you taken hold of it, fled whatever, to take hold of hope? The hope set before us? Maybe, let me read that again so it can be in context. God did this so that by two unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And that anchor is Jesus. Amen. You know, hope does something for us. Oh, wait a minute. Where am I? I'm not sure. I think I'm ahead of myself here. Sorry. I think I might go ahead and see if I put these things up ahead of after this. That would be my fault. Okay. Hope leads us to joy. When we have hope, we're led to joy. And we're led to boldness. It says, be joyful in hope. Boldness says, therefore, since we have such hope, we are bold. It leads to faith and love. And because we have heard of your faith in Christ and of the love you have for all God's people, our faith and the love that springs from hope stored up for us in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, our living hope. Faith comforts us and encourages us as we look forward to his return. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, meeting with the Lord in the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's stir up hope in one another. You see, not all of the promises have we seen yet, but we've seen them in our hearts, and we know and we're hopeful. How many of you can't wait to hear that trumpet call? When the Lord returns with his angel armies, amen, and we get to join him. We have hope about that. We have hope. You know, one of the things that Jesus said to us before he left, he says, these things you see me doing, you will do in even greater things. That's in the book of John, Gospel of John. And I'm going to ask you this. Do you think we have seen the fulfillment of all that in Jesus, that Jesus said there? Not in the fullness, right? We have seen people lay hands, we've heard about people, but these things you've seen me doing, you will do. How many of you are you? If you're a believer in Jesus, you're a you. You're a sheep. But maybe not a you sheep. Anyway, sorry. You're a sheep of the shepherd. And so we know in our hearts there's even something greater coming in this. There's a greater fulfillment in this coming for us. And we have hope. Now, I go back to what if we read the promises of God that we see in his word with that childlike faith, that hope. And when we're flipping through the pages like that old Sears wish book, we start underlining and we start dreaming like that, like a child, of all the fun to be had with the promises of God described in there. How many of you think it would be fun and get out of your adult theological thinking, please, to go lay hands on people and see them recovered. Hey, you started it this morning. How many of you think it would be amazing to lay hands on the dead and see them rise? Oh, come on, right? That's a little... But hope makes us bold. Hope makes us bold. Right? What if when we look at the promises, when we look at the Word of God, we allow that child heart, that heart like a child for the kingdom of God, like we used to have for the Sears catalog for His Word. And again, I say, some of you, well, even me, we used to get the Sears catalog and the Eaton's catalog, but it doesn't matter. I got the Word of God. That's a better book to have. So let me move on to, I think I have to go backwards, but I'll see here for a second. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. So then, being always filled with good courage and confident hope, knowing that while we were yet home in this bodies, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And again, this is the Amplified. Living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Amen? Amen. Now we'll go the other way quickly. And we'll... I'm just going to back up just a sec. So we have not seen everything, but we have confidence in what God is doing. We have confidence in His promises, confidence that He is faithful. We have a living hope. His name is Jesus. And like that child, I just want to encourage you this week. It's the start of Christmas. Let's start celebrating like a child's heart. Let's not get caught up in all the stuff. Let's let our hearts come with hope of what the Lord is doing. We are celebrating the light that has come into the world. Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah. All the things that He brought, like Betty shared this morning, He has taken our sins, any mistakes, past, present, and future. And the Scripture says this, and sometimes this is hard to get our minds around, as far as from the east is from the west, He has removed them from us, and that He doesn't remember them anymore. And we say, well, how can God, who knows everything, God doesn't remember them? You can come back to God and say, do you remember when I, and He'll say, nope, I don't remember when you, because He sees us now through the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we step into that, when we took that for ourselves and received what Jesus did, we changed. We became something new, and our hearts can be filled with hope because we have a living hope, and His name is Jesus. Like the hope of a child who knows it's coming and whose heart is full of anticipation and all that it means. As we come into this Christmas season, let our hearts be full of all that it means and the anticipation and the hope that we have in Jesus, our living hope. Hebrews, this is our wrap-up this morning. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswaveringly to the hope we profess, for who promised is faithful. Oh, if there's one scripture you can take home today, let it be that one. All right. Hope. That's our, in the heart of a child of God. You're a child of God. What is the hope like in your heart? Oh, it's exciting. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close. Bless you guys. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. I don't know. Maybe I'm just excited about it, but. Oh, Papa, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Daddy, that through Jesus we can even call you that. Abba, Father, Daddy. That you love us. And Lord, you gave us the best Christmas present ever. You gave us the first Christmas through your Son, Jesus. So that we today can stand and our hearts filled with hope. Because you are faithful to all the amazing promises that we have in Jesus. And so, Lord, as we anticipate, like childlike faith, what you are doing and going to do, and we are excited. We're taking hold of it like we already have it, because we do in you. And so as we go out this week, I pray over every heart that is here this morning and every heart that is watching online and whenever they watch it. Lord, that Holy Spirit, that they be stirred up by you with the goodness and the love and the hope that they have. And that, Lord, that we can take it to the world out there to know that there is light that has come into the darkness. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And now, Lord, I'm just going